www.thebestofthebest.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, last week was a fascinating episode with James Fox, one of the three people behind the Chasing UFOs TV show. I have to tell you, though, that the show hasn't gotten the greatest response. I've read a couple of critical comments from mainstream newspapers, some saying it's just too wacky for them. Others suggesting that, yeah, it is a decent show. Now, I did check, because I get curious about such things, I checked the TV ratings. There's a site called ZapToIt.com, okay, where you can check TV ratings for people who are crazy enough to actually wonder about stuff like that.
So, did it get zapped or what?
Well, they have the top 100 shows here, okay? And number one was Family Guy. These are, of course, repeats. A lot of repeats on cable TV. Down at the bottom of the list, we had Flying Wild Alaska, House Hunters International, a repeat of Fox News Channel's O'Reilly Factor. But I can't see anything for... I'll do a search, okay? You hear me typing? That's real typing on a real keyboard. I keep a noisy keyboard because I learned from in the movies, when people type on computer keyboards, they have to be noisy. Looney Tunes is right in the middle of it, by the way. FX Movie Prime, Tom and Jerry Tales is the top 100 list, Friday, the 29th of June. ANT Farm, House of Pain, America Pickers, Storage Wars, what is that?
It's guys that go around and buy up storage unit contents that have gone into default.
Well, now you know. You must be a fan of the show. Has less than a million viewers. Okay. Chelsea Lately. Well, if Chelsea's on time, you know, it's ridiculous. I didn't see Chasing UFOs.
It wasn't in the top 100. I have a hard time believing that.
Well, I have it right here. I have the ratings. You know, unless National Geographic Channel's never included on those ratings. I don't know. But, you know, we're down to a point here where shows are getting less than a million viewers. And this had major publicity, by the way. I mean, I was hearing on radio, TV, publicity, lots of web banners. I didn't buy advertising with the Paracast. I'd like to see the show succeed, because when you get past the crazy reality TV flourishes, you get past the night vision junk, they're trying to show some respect for the facts. And that's pretty difficult, because we know of certain other reality shows that cover the paranormal. As you know, Chris, because you were on one of them, where they decide that you're in the wrong location, so they make you somewhere else. So if you go to the Mysterious Valley, they said, no, it cannot be the Mysterious Valley. It has to be Sedona, Arizona.
Well, I was a little bit more underhanded than that. But maybe UFO hunters, I don't know, pooped in the pool and kind of ruined it for everybody. Maybe everybody's gun-shy now. I don't know. I would think that with the amount of, you know, pre-debut publicity that they gave it, that it would at least be up in the top, you know, 50 or 60 shows for the time period. That's pretty grim.
And it has been repeated. It was repeated the next day, though I haven't seen Saturday's ratings. Now, the other thing to point out is the poll that they took. They commissioned a real poll from a real market research agency, National Geographic Channel, and it showed that a third of the people in America believe in UFO reality, down from 50% in the last decade or two. But the point being, this got coverage in USA Today. This got coverage all around the country, maybe in other parts of the world. So you'd think people would be curious. Hey, Friday night, of course, is not the best time for TV ratings. If we even check the mainstream TV networks, you'll find that ratings tend to be down on Friday. Now, people go out. It may also be that there's a lot of time shifting involved here, that people turn on their DVRs, they record the shows, they watch them later. Now, half the people in the United States, I have a lot of statistics here, you know, I have a million statistics, most of which mean nothing, but half the people in this country have a DVR of some sort. So they are able to watch TV shows later on. So we'll have to see. I hope it gets ratings for the sake of ufology.
I don't think it's as bad as people on, you know, the forum here at the forum, theparacast.com are making out. Sure, there's a lot of hokiness in it. They have those cameras that stick off their faces on poles. They walk around at night looking for physical trace evidence and after a rainstorm in the pitch black. You know, sure, there are some decisions that are being made, I think, with the entertainment value foremost in mind. But I think with good case selection, I saw some kind of fun repartee between the three principals. With some good research, some good case selections, you know, I think the show has a chance, but not if it can't get in the top 100 on its debut episode after all the publicity that it's gotten. That does not bode well.
See, part of the problem here is that when you do a reality show, there are certain constraints to the medium. And when you go out to do something, you have to have a result. Even if you don't see something, you have to have something in the can. It has to look like something's going on. Now, with this show, they're compressing events, obviously. With some of the reality shows, I'll give you another example, the House Hunters show. You have a show of people who go out with a real estate agent to find a new house. And it's always three homes. Which of the three homes does this couple want to buy? And they show homes all over the world, not just in America, but in Europe, in South America, etc. It's an interesting show, but you know, if you've ever gone to look for a new house, and the same applies to an apartment, you don't just have three. And usually what they do is they reenact the walkthroughs through these homes for TV. It's a reenactment. Yes, the couple did buy a house. Yes, it's probably the house that you see on TV. Yes, this is the real estate agent. Yes, these are homes they saw. But it's only a compressed version of reality. Reality does not take 45 minutes of a one-hour TV show plus the commercials. And to do that in the UFO field, you know, it's darn difficult.
Possible, but oh well. What do I know?
Well, I hope it works.
I do, too. It's like Sci-Fi Investigates, that crazy show I think Richard Dolan was on that didn't do too well. I think these shows are just doomed. I don't know what it is, but I guess we'll find out. You
well,
know,
Ghost Hunters is still around.
Yeah.
You know, the true. Ghost shows work very well. The ones that are about UFOs, well, you know, there's a poll over at forum.theparacast.com right now about the best UFO show. And they start with In Search Of from the 1970s, Project UFO, UFO Files, UFOs Over Earth, UFO Hunters. Believe it or not, three people voted for UFO Hunters. I can't believe it. Ancient Aliens, One Step Beyond. That wasn't a UFO show, though. It's back in 1959. And Chasing UFOs, which got no votes, but tied for second, TV has never treated the subject with respect.
No, it's the red-haired stepchild of broadcasting.
Well, that's about reality TV in general. You know, I mean, if you got Survivor on TV, you got Storage Wars, how could you possibly take Chasing UFOs seriously? You know, Storage Wars. I still can't understand some of these things. And maybe they want to look for Snooki or something. And I hear the name Snooki and I think of Sookie, the character in the TV show True Blood about vampires and everything. But that's just me. I never watch reality shows.
Yeah, Snooki, huh?
Snooki.
That sounds like it smells bad.
We actually have a real show today, by the way.
We do?
Yes. And we have a return visit from a guest who was here 2 years ago. And he is an encyclopedic knowledge of UFOs, especially in South America.
Well, but any medieval case histories, too. I mean, there's very few people that can touch Antonio.
Antonio Huneas is one of the editors of the Open Minds magazine. He has fascinating articles and probably is the best resource they have in that publication.
Yeah.
Bar none. Antonio.
Except for John Rayo's pockets.
Antonio Huneas joins us next. You're in
the Paracast.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio.
Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Antonio Huneas. He's one of the editors of the Open Minds magazine. He's been involved in the UFO field for a number of years, has an amazing knowledge about a lot of things, and has written some fascinating articles for Open Minds, one of which is about the Mayans 2012 and UFOs. In fact, I think we should start with that. Antonio, welcome back to the Paracast.
Thank you, Dean, and hi, Chris.
Yeah, Antonio, welcome back, man.
Okay, so Chris started this discussion by updating our forums at forum.theparacast.com. with an article you wrote about the Mayans 2012 and UFOs. So I am very curious, what is the possible connection with all three?
Okay. You know, what I try to do, the article really doesn't have any final conclusions or anything, but what I try to do with that article, it was a cover story. It was on the, not on the current issue, but on the issue before of the Open Minds magazine, and people can, you know, get them through our website at openminds.tv. But anyway, what I try to do is to explain what is this phenomenon of 2012, put it a little bit in context. So I trace a little bit the history of it, for which you have to go to the late 80s to a man called José Argüelles, who was a sort of a New Age philosopher and very influential in some circles. He had also, he was a well-educated man. I think he had a degree from history of art or something like that from University of Chicago. I mean, he was, you know, an important guy, although certainly controversial. And he came up with a concept in the late 80s known as the harmonic convergence. You remember that, Gene? You probably do.
Well, I'm as old as the hills, and yes, I do remember the harmonic convergence. Unfortunately, I've never converged.
Well, the harmonic convergence, I would say, was sort of the beginning of the 2012 phenomenon, because prior to that, the Maya calendar was just a subject for archaeologists. I mean, only expert scholars on Maya archaeology, on Maya studies, really cared about the calendar. I mean, it's very odd for a culture. Every culture has its own calendar, right? We use the Gregorian calendar, which was actually based on the Julian calendar, which comes from Roman times. But the chronology, of course, was changed, you know, to the beginning of the Christian era. But then it had to be adjusted, and that took place in the 1500s by a pope called Gregory, and that's why it's known as the Gregorian calendar. And that's the one we use. Of course, the Muslims have Islamic calendar, the Hebrews have a Hebrew calendar, and Chinese, and so on. But usually every culture only deals with its own calendar. They don't care about what other culture's calendar may be. I'm talking in popular terms. It's only a subject for specialists. And that was the case with the Maya calendar in the 19th century. Originally, the Maya mathematic number system was decoded before the writing. As you probably know, the Maya writing wasn't even decoded until the 1980s. So prior to that, there was a lot of speculation as to what the Mayans tell us and the few writings that survived the Spanish conquest, what did they say, because nobody could read them. But the numbers were deciphered already in the 19th century. And it was thanks to that people were able to establish that the year zero of the Maya calendar was 2113 BC. This is the year zero. Nobody knows why. That is the year zero, but somehow if you convert it into our figures, you know, it comes to that. So the 2012 is not the end of the world. That is a misnomer, but it is the end of a cycle of a great baktun. Now, what does it mean? That is also open to interpretation, because as I explained in the article, there are no Maya prophecies. Well, actually, there are some Maya prophecies, but they are contained in the books of Chilam Balam and the Popol Vuh. You know, there are some documents that do mention some prophecies, but they're connected to creation myths and things like that. But there's only one inscription, actually, that does deal with the 2012 specifically, and that's known as the Tortuguero inscription. And there is kind of a mysterious little prophecy there, but the text is very short. So I give all that background. But now with regards to UFOs, it is interesting that Argüelles himself was a UFO, one could almost say a UFO contactee. And I quote in the article from a very extensive biography of Argüelles that was published, a couple of years ago. I forgot the name of the book, but it's in the article. Some kind of message that he received, or some kind of vision that he had when he was as a young boy. He was a Mexican American, but he had grew up I believe he was born in the United States, but he was of Mexican heritage. So he was visiting the great ruins of Teotihuacan near Mexico City, which of course they're not Mayan, but they're pre-Columbian. You know, the massive, you know, with the pyramid of the sun and the moon. I've been there. They're very impressive. And he had this kind of vision of something that he was meant to do something with regard to these cultures, which he did. He also came to the conclusion And this was, even though his background was not in the UFO or in ufology, he came from a completely different road, but he also came to the conclusion that the great King Pakal, you know, the king of Palenque, which the famous Stella of the Palenque astronaut, I guess is how they call it, it was an extraterrestrial. And he wrote this in a book that was called The Mayan Factor, which was published in 1988, which was a pretty important book. No, it wasn't a bestseller in massive numbers, but it was a very influential book in the New Age, in the New Age culture. And that's when this idea of the Maya calendar, you know, became part of New Age culture in America. And eventually it percolated into other countries. What I established there in the article is that even though a lot of the stuff you read now about the Maya calendar, they don't even mention much UFOs, or some of them don't. They mostly deal with doomsday and things like that. But if you look at the history of this phenomenon, there is a link to UFOs if you go back to the original figure of José Argüelles. So that's one argument I make in the article. And then the other thing I do discuss also briefly is some UFO sightings that have taken place at Mayan sites. And I tell the story there because it was that was a personal story, even though I didn't have the sighting myself. But when I visit the great ruins of Tikal in Guatemala, you know, one of the major Mayan ruins. In fact, if you remember, Tikal was used at the very end of the Star Wars movie where the rebel base was located, where you see these pyramids emerging off the jungle. That's the city of Tikal, which was one of the major Mayan cities of the ancient world. And so I was visiting Guatemala because my sister at the time was stationed there with the United Nations. This was in the late 90s. And I had met this Guatemalan ufologist who was a very prominent guy in Guatemala. Outside of Guatemala, nobody knows him, but he had written books, had a radio show, was sort of the best-known Guatemalan ufologist. And so I went with him. He offered to take me to the ruins of Tikal. We had to take like a 6 a.m. flight, you know, from Guatemala City. You can do it by the day if you take like that really early flight, and then you drive for about 2 hours, and then you make it. And so it's a very large installation, so we only got to see some of it, but we certainly saw the main parts of it. And then we're taking a lunch break, and there's these two guys, and they recognized this fellow because he had appeared on many TV shows in Guatemala and so on. So
we'll cover that in a moment. We've got Antonio Juneas joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Smartest thing my company did was to give us WebEx. I'm in sales, and now I get twice the meetings, close twice the business, and make twice the money. I guess I should say thank you to the folks in IT.
The new free version of WebEx Meetings lets you take your office anywhere, your desktop, laptop, or mobile device. Get your free WebEx Meetings basic account now at WebEx.com. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com. WebEx.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com, sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, foodstore.com, or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
BePrepared.com heats up July with the hottest sale on the web. Going on now, save 28% on freeze-dried raspberries or save on our three-day light emergency kit, a $50 value. This month, just $30.99. Plus, all one-year supplies are on sale at BePrepared.com. This month, save over $350 on our traditional 2,000-year supply of food. Now, just $12.99.99 and get a hand-grain mill free. Or choose our most popular year supply, the Premium 2000. It gives you 2,000 calories per day from a variety of nutritious meals for one whole year. Save over $700 plus get a free Katadyn Hiker water filter, a $75 value. More details and more hot July savings at BePrepared.com now through July 31st. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and BePrepared.com's low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
I'm the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We have Antonio Junius joining Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Before we broke, Antonio was into this interesting visit where, was it two locals recognized your companion?
Yeah, that's correct. And if I can find even the issue, but I'll get it later, I can give you the name of the guy, but right now I don't remember. But anyway, so they recognized this fellow because he had been on TV shows, and they say, oh, licenciado, you know, they love that word in Latin American countries, means basically someone with a university degree. We were thinking of you the other night because we saw a UFO right out of the blue, right? Here we're having lunch. It's in an outdoor cafe there by the entrance to the ruins where they have a number of tourist shops, and you can buy postcards and restaurants and so on. And so we immediately say, well, sure, so what's the story? You know, we got all excited. And we did an interview with them right there. Basically, these guys were interesting because they were some kind of anthropologists, so they had good credentials. And they also were doing, I think they had some kind of contract to do postcards also of the ruins. And basically, the story is that I think one tourist had gone lost. And so this had happened like a few days before we were there. We would have been about 1997. So there were search parties, and because as soon as you know, Tikal basically, like most Mayan ruins, they're in the jungle, right? And that's why they were protected. That's the great thing about the Mayan cities, that were never sacked by the Spanish or anything, because this is from the old Mayan civilization, which had mysteriously collapsed around the year 900 A.D., which to this day is one of the great archaeological mysteries, what happened to the Mayas. I explored that in the article as well. I said the Mayas had gone through, I mean, assuming that 2012 is some kind of doomsday, they know something about doomsday because they already had gone through two doomsdays. The first one is around the year 900, where mysteriously the old civilization of the Mayas collapsed. But it doesn't collapse by any kind of outside invasion that we know of. And the archaeologists do not know to this day exactly what happened. But somehow the socio-political system collapsed. the people didn't perish. The people were still there, but they abandoned the cities, and the whole, you know, ruling elite just basically collapsed. And there are theories that maybe there was ecological theories or whatever, but it is not known for sure. So that would be the first doomsday for the Mayas. The second one, of course, is the arrival of the Spaniards, Cortes, you know, and especially Cortes' lieutenant, who was Pedro Alvarado, who was a particularly cruel Spanish conquistador, and he was the one that conquered the Mayas. That was the second collapse of the Maya civilization. But basically, that's the story, you know. So we do have, to go back to the, oh, right, I was telling you the story of the
sighting. Yeah, to the sighting.
So basically, yeah, these guys, so as they were looking for this tourist, and I guess they eventually did find them, they saw this ball of fire, or this luminous ball, basically, flying over the jungle. And this guy was an anthropologist, and he said that, yeah, that was a fairly common phenomenon over there. And that was the one time he personally saw it. But he said he also had talked to many Indians and natives and people from the area, and that they saw them all the time, and particularly by a big lake there, and they would see them coming in and out the lake. And, of course, we have many other UFO cases like that, but not with Mayan ruins. And then I also mentioned in the article a photograph that was taken in the 1990s where you see the famous Temple of the Inscriptions, one of the classic pyramids in the city of Palenque. And there is a UFO on top of it. It's a pretty good picture, and it's in that magazine. Actually, we had already published it even before in that section that we have called the Photo Gallery. That was just published as a picture there. But I decided to use it again a little bit and tell a little bit of the story more in detail. So basically, there is a connection, but there is a lot of questions, of course, you know. And I think regardless of whatever interesting aspects the 2012 phenomena has, there is also a lot of nonsense and commercialism and so on going on.
A few things, Antonio. Number one, when you say Mount Mayan calendar, of course, you're talking about the famous long count calendar. The Maya had 17,
I explained in the article, of course.
Calendars with,
In the article, I do go a little bit into detail. There is a sidebar that explains briefly, right, you know, the different calendars. I know the Maya calendar is an extremely complicated subject. First of all, there were at least two major calendars, you know, there's what we would call the civil calendar, which is very similar to the one we use, and then the sacred calendar, which is only 260 days. And now the important date, not just in the Mayas, but in all the Mesoamerican civilizations, was the cycle of 52 years. Because right, every 52 years, these two calendars would mesh, would coincide with each other. It was like if you have two wheels, right? One has 365 days and the other hand 260. Well, every 52 day years, they will coincide. And so that was a sort of a renewal of creation. And it was a big deal in the Maya, and not just Maya. That was also celebrated by the Toltecs and the Aztecs, by all the peoples of Mesoamerica. And sure enough, Cortes himself arrived, perhaps by coincidence or perhaps not, the destiny, I don't know, but he did arrive right on cue. He arrived right in one of those 52-year cycles. And, of course, he also used, you know, all these prophecies that the ancient Americans had about the return of Quetzalcoatl, the great mythical figure of Quetzalcoatl, but he was more than a mythical figure. There was also a historical figure called Quetzalcoatl.
Well, Antonio, another quick question here. You know, I've seen references to some sort of new knowledge that's come out that claim that the Maya actually left this planet and went elsewhere. I've never seen anything definitive in terms of any sort of academic interpretation that would lend any credence to that story. But have you heard that, that the ancient Mayas somehow were in contact with?
Well, the story that the Mayans left, I think it came fairly recently, with regards to that documentary that is being made by that guy, the Rulfo, and the other guy, the son of the actor, the Hollywood actor.
Right, Raul Julia's son.
Yeah, Raul Julia's son. in a number of sort of part of their PR campaign, and I'm not sure where their documentary is going at this point.
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to be out by now?
No. It was never supposed to be out by now. It was supposed to be out by towards the end of the year. But initially, they were supposed to start filming back in November, and they had the permission, apparently, of the Mexican government and all that. That I explained in the article as well, that the Mexican government has jumped into the act, but for very logical reasons, and that make total sense, and you don't need to invoke anything esoteric. Tourism, you know, I mean, it's a big source of income in Mexico, and so they, in 2011, the president of Mexico, well, they just had elections, you know, the one that was at that time, was still the president of Mexico, launched this program called the Maya World 2012. And because they were expecting, you know, a lot of tourists, so it's not, it includes exhibits, working on infrastructure, all kinds of things. And and that would include, you know, support like documentaries and things like that. But obviously the Mayas didn't go anywhere. That's a misnomer. Again, you see that in a lot of articles and, you know, in TV shows and things like that when they say the Mayas disappear. The Mayas didn't disappear, neither in the year 900 or after the Spanish. Yeah, their civilization collapsed, but the people are still there. They're still there to this day. They're no longer
called
Mayas.
Well, we know when we did an earlier show, Antonio, with Chris's brother and some other people involved in the Southwest tours, they were telling us, of course, what, there are several million Mayans still around?
Yeah. There are at least 4 million or something like that. Now, they're no longer called Mayas. When I was in Guatemala, they told me that there were something like 24 different ethnic groups. That's how they call them. The main one is called the Mam, and others have various other names. But basically, they're all descendants of the Mayas. It's been so long now, so many centuries, that their languages are slightly different, and they're considered different tribes.
Exploring the Mayans, UFOs, and lots more. Antonio Junius joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food waste in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you.
Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety? Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMikes.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMikes.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMikes.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMikes.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Antonio Junius making his second appearance on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, exploring the mysteries of the Mayans, the descendants who live to this very day. Despite what you hear in the media, the Mayans are still here. Now, Antonio, more about the UFO connection. And part of it is here, all right, there have been UFO sightings over Mayan ruins, but is there any reason to think that there's any significance to that?
Well, I'd say there's some significance, but perhaps there is another interpretation. And that interpretation would be that the ruins, not just the Mayas, but any kind of ancient ruin, whether it's in Egypt or in China or in Mexico, they're based on certain knowledge that the ancients had, that they built their temples and their important monuments in areas that were geomagnetically charged. In other words, maybe they knew something that we don't in our current, because they were very much more connected, you know, to Mother Earth. So I think that's a valid interpretation. So they build this monument, and that's why when religions, so when places would be conquered, they would, for instance, when the Catholics conquered America or whatever, they would build a church on the same place where the temple was. They respected the location. They changed the name of the god, but they felt that that location was important. So if you go for that theory, then these things were built not at random, but in specific points where there was some kind of geomagnetic energy or some kind of earth energy. So therefore, that would include the appearance of lights and things like that. And for that, you wouldn't need to have specifically that they were there because of the Mayas, but because the Mayas had knew where they built these things, that they were high-energy places, and so therefore they would have UFO sightings.
Antonio, how would they sense this high energy? Would it be something they just feel, or what?
Maybe by something equivalent to dowsing. Remember that all these cultures also had shamans, and the shamans were in touch, you know, and Chris can probably knows this far better than I. The shamans, whether there was some, you know, many of them were, of course, also using, you know, psychedelic drugs and so on, and they were in touch with other entities. And these entities don't have to be, I mean, in our culture, any entity we see it as, it has to be extraterrestrial. But that's just a theory. But we certainly there are some kind of entities, and maybe they've been here for a long time. We don't know. I mean, that's what we're trying to find. But I think that they had some kind of knowledge, and they probably, that I'm pretty convinced, regardless of whether extraterrestrials came in spaceships and things like that, for which the theory is not so solid. But I think it is much more solid that there were certain people in the ancient world, and now specifically in this case in the Mayas, that by whatever rituals they had, or maybe with the use of psychedelic drugs or whatever, they would enter into contact with non-earthly entities, some kind of intelligences. And I think that's, and you find that kind of references throughout the folklore of the ancient world, yeah. Including, Dr. of course, Dr. Mesoamerica.
A person that we both know, Dr. J.J. Hertak, who has, I think, two or three doctorates and speaks, I don't know, seven plus languages, quite an amazing academic. He showed me a number of years ago a very interesting map of southern Mexico and Central America, and he had the main city sites and sacred sites delineated out on this map, and then he had this very interesting grid system of connecting points that reminded me of Bruce Cathay's work and some sort
right.
of like
I
some
think
sort
I,
of,
I Yeah, yeah, you're right. I think that I may even have that book. It's an interesting book. I read it many years ago. In fact, I mentioned it in the article on the 2012 in the Mayas. It's the name of the book. It's in Spanish, of course, but if you translate it, it would be UFOs and Mexican Archaeology. And it was a book written by two Mexican authors. One was one of the deans of Mexican ufology long before Maussan. His name was Pedro Ferriz. He was a very famous ufologist in the 1980s, 70s, and 80s in Mexico. And the other one is a guy called Cristian Ciruguet. And they had initially some basic definitions about ufology and all that, but later, a great part of the book, especially the part written by Ciruguet, was a study of these grids. And I wouldn't be surprised that maybe that map that Hertak showed you might have come from that book, because what this guy did is he put in the map all the different great Mexican ruins, pyramids, and then he started like connecting them and building like a geometry. So
you can find that curious kind of correlation all around the world at sacred sites.
Correct. It's the same thing I was saying before about sacred sites. It doesn't in this particular article I dealt with the ones in Mexico and Central America, but it applies just as well, I think, to any ancient structure. I'm pretty convinced that the ancients knew something. They could sense something by whatever means they did it. And we might be able eventually to get there too, but knowing our culture, you know, we'll probably have to do it technologically. You know, we'll have to come up with equipment that will prove that there is some kind of geothermal energy or geomagnetic energy or something in these sites as opposed to other sites.
Another person that you mentioned in the article that I think deserves mention here is Terence McKenna and his work with Time Wave Zero. He came up with a way to graph novelty and change as it ebbs and flows in culture, and it's actually a system that he felt was even predictive. And before Arguelles came out with the Mayan Factor and put a lot of focus on this 2012 date, Terence McKenna came up with a very interesting observation that time period would be we'll see the ushering in of an amazing amount of novelty and change into the world. And his date, I think, was towards the end of November. And then after the Mayan Factor came out, he kind of nudged it up into December, if memory serves me correct. But this, what do you think of that? What do you think of all these predictions now that are coming out and this whole Hollywood take on this?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it started with these kind of visionary guys, even though they were controversial, but nevertheless, they were important, one could say, philosophers, you know, I mean, certainly Arguelles, I would consider philosophers, because Arguelles, one of the things that I liked the most of him, especially towards the end of his life, was, and which wasn't his idea, actually, that comes from a famous Russian scientist called Vernadsky. He coined the term, and also the great French Jesuit philosopher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And these guys came up with this concept known as the noosphere. Okay, we're all familiar with the atmosphere and the biosphere and the geosphere, right? They're the different realms of the Earth. But normally people see them in terms very scientifically, right? I mean, the geosphere and the magnetosphere, you know, just specific physical aspects of our planet. But Vernadsky and Teilhard de Chardin, apparently independently of each other, though Vernadsky had given a series of lectures at the Sorbonne University in the 1920s, came up with this term. And which, like I said, called the noosphere, from the Greek word nous for mental or consciousness. In other words, the mental realm. So what they were saying is, in addition to all the physical and biological spheres in our planet, there is also a mental field, and which is the combination, I guess, of all the consciousness that are alive and probably those that were alive too, you know. And you find actually a similar concept in the ancient, especially in the Sanskrit tradition, known as the Akashic Records. So maybe there's a and so for me that's one of the more interesting aspects of 2012. I don't particularly go for the whole doomsday thing and all that, although we're certainly in trouble as a planet, but I don't think you need the Maya calendar for that.
Right. So if you live in the northeastern United States, you're feeling a lot of trouble right now.
Yeah.
Sure, but I think there is also the possibility, you know, the option that maybe something good will come out of this, and we'll get people to jump into another level of consciousness. I think that's the most interesting aspects of the 2012, which was initially, you know, outlined by people like Arguelles and McKenna. Nowadays, I think there's a lot of people that have jumped into the bandwagon with 2012. Probably some of them are sincere and some less, you know, and they're just trying to make a buck.
So basically right now for 2012, it's the in thing to get part of the bandwagon. But if nothing happens through the year other than what we normally expect, nothing really strange or untoward, then we could look for another year and another possibility. We have Antonio Jimenez, and we'll have a lot more coming with Gene and Chris because you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.